looking at other believers and looking at other believers who walk with God and challenge us in positive ways. Having been involved in my third church, two other churches, I can name names from past churches of men and women who just, you know, walked a walk. They were not perfect, but they walked a walk. They honored God. They pleased Him, and they were worth following. Now, ultimately, we follow Christ. But there are people that we come across in our lifetime. What we're going to do this morning is, as we think of that thought, we're going to look at a group of individuals in the New Testament who were worth following, who were worth emulating. And this is within the first couple of years of the church coming into existence, the church. What we're going to do is look at what they did, who they were, just three thoughts that we can all be striving for in our walk with God. Whether or not, you know, there's some big debate with athletes and role models and all this, as a Christian, you are a role model. And we're not perfect and we come up short at times. But what are some of the areas that constitute being a role model? That's what we're looking at this morning. Amen? We're in a series. We've been in this series for a while now. It's entitled God's Fix for Society. What is His fix? What is His plan for society? And today, the message is simply entitled, People Worth Following. People Worth Following. We're going to be in Acts chapter 5, and we're going to begin at about verse 12 and go through the end of that particular chapter. Last week, we saw a sobering message in verses 1 through 11. Ananias and Sapphira. We know the story. Many know it. For some, it might have been the first time you've heard it. But we looked at the principles of honesty and integrity towards ourselves, towards God, and towards others as we were gathered together last time. Well, you know what? The New Testament church, when they heard about that meeting, and not everybody was there, but there was a sobering reality to this walk with God, following Jesus Christ. So ministry in the church continues. What we're doing is jumping into another episode. By the time we get through chapter 7, we will have looked, we will have looked at 2 years of time from chapter 1 to chapter 7. So we're still very early in the church. Things are actually going well. It's growing. We see that mentioned a number of times. So let's open, if you will, if you're not already there. And let's continue on in chapter 5 as we look at people worth following. People worth following. John, can you help me with something? These lights are on, but maybe they're not dialed all the way to the brightest setting. Because I can't see. Actually, I can see, but they may not be on the brightest setting, or maybe they are. And we need to put brighter spotlights in there for the pastor. Oh, goodness. Get those big old halogen things out here. All right, thank you. All right, here we go. Verse 12. The apostles heal many. The apostles perform many miraculous signs and wonders among the people. And all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. Now, it's interesting, the apostles, to establish the new church, to establish the church, many signs and miracles were done. It was an amazing time in the church. And the apostles were able to do miraculous things. An apostle, remember, had to be what? One of the key things we saw had to be an eyewitness of the resurrection of Christ. We saw that back in chapter 1. But God gave them incredible gifts and power to do many things. The believers gathered together in Solomon's colonnade. If you look at pictures of what the temple looked like, it was like a porch with columns, and they would gather out there. And this was their large group meeting, temple courts in Acts 2. And the apostles would get up and they would teach. And they would speak. Now, they didn't obviously have the whole Bible as we do today, but they had enough and they would teach and share. And then the people would go from that temple court meeting to what? House to house. And they would meet in homes and have their small group in that way. No one, verse 13, else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. The people that saw what happened in the first 11 verses of chapter 5, if their motives were not right for coming to Christ and following Him, they saw the judgment that took place with Ananias and Sapphira. And there were some that just said, I'm not sure I want anything to do with that. But look at verse 14. Nevertheless, more and more what? Men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. They were continuing to grow. As a result, people brought the sick into the street and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow, just his shadow, could pass across them, might fall on some of them as he passed by. They would be healed. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by evil spirits. A lot of that took place in that day and in that time. Yes, it happens today, but a lot of that, we have it recorded a number of times. And all of them were healed. Some of them were healed? No. All of them were healed. The ability to heal in the way that the apostles did it and with the gift in the New Testament is instantaneous. Instantaneous healing. Boom. It doesn't take time. It's not a process. Boom. They were healed. And the apostles did this. The apostles took time to do this. It's amazing. Just their shadow would fall. And they were healed. They were doing amazing and miraculous things. What the apostles were doing here is they were empowered to serve the Lord and to do ministry, but they were also taking time out to go and to visit the sick and to have the sick brought to them and to heal them. They had a lot of things to do. The size of the church? Over 5,000, at least. And there were more than that. They had a lot of responsibility, many things to do. But they took time. They healed. They were with the people, and they served. Okay, on your outline, people worth following, or people to follow. Let me give you the first thought here. People to follow. Hang on before she brings it up. People to follow. So what did the apostles do? As we look at their example, now I cannot go out and heal people instantaneously. I can pray, and I do. And I have done that many times. And I have seen people healed, and I have seen other people go to be with the Lord. What's the bigger picture here? What were they doing? People worth following today. Okay, let's bring that up, Kathy. People to follow meet needs. They took time out to meet needs of others. The sick, those tormented with evil spirits, and they would go, and they would serve, and they would meet whatever the need was. And there were a variety of needs. When you think of people, and you look at people, and you say, wow, somebody to follow. Well, let me tell you one of the criteria to begin and for us to all work to is meeting needs. Meeting needs in other people. It's just there's so many different ways to do this. So let me ask you this question. On your outline, the next little thought, what needs can you meet? What needs can you meet? What can you do? How can you help? I mean, when you look at people to follow, who meet needs, they're typically generous. They may not have a lot, but they are generous. It's not about them. It's about helping others. And once you tangibly meet needs from somebody, whatever it may be, and it can be a wide range of things, people are humbled by that. Sometimes people don't even know how to act towards that when you're meeting a need for them, whatever it may be. You need to be aware, I need to be aware, of the way in which we can meet needs to help others, to serve others, and to be a part. In our church, meeting needs. I know that we have needs staffing in areas. Awana starts back on Wednesday night. They need some folks to help. They've had some people come, praise God, but they need some help. If you can give some time on Wednesday evening, you can talk to John or George. Awana needs helpers. This Sunday school hour, we need helpers. We're not asking you to do this every week. We're asking you if you could rotate once a month. We need helpers just to, so that we can rotate people through who serve. Very tangible ways of helping out and meeting needs and ministering to others. Some of you have asked, well, what happened Monday night? Monday night was about the third time we've done this, or second or third, feeding the community. It's actually feeding our church, which is good. The ministry of Celebrate Recovery, which is good. And then other folks that just become aware of this and maybe are hungry. So I was here in the afternoon and some of the ladies were here. Patty and Kathy and later on others. They didn't let me cook a turkey this year. Praise God. Maybe cut a turkey was exciting last year. You know what I was incredibly humbled by from our church? Families coming, and I know who they are, and we're not going to mention them, but families coming and bringing a turkey that is ready to serve, so that really not much needs to be done other than just to unwrap. There were five people, different groups in this church that brought turkeys that met a tangible need. It was a very, very neat time, Monday evening. We have some pictures. We can go ahead and bring these up, and you can just get an idea of what happened. I took some pictures here. We had, during the program, after the eating, there's Todd and some others that were here. Kevin back on the drums, you recognize. I thought it was really neat in that all the leaders, I did not say one thing on Monday night, which is fine. Absolutely. All the leaders got up that lead, and they just shared what they're thankful for. That was the program. And just talking about this. Now, it's hard to see, but from this is my camera taking these pictures. They would serve there. The line would go right from the sound booth all the way down to here, all the way to here. That was the line that was being served on Monday night. I know, because I was at the end of the line. One of the last to eat. And one of the hungriest. Go ahead, let's bring up another picture if we can. There you go, just gives you an idea of some of the people that were here and the families and just enjoying fellowship together and enjoying a time of eating and then thanking God for what He has done. And here they were, the band was playing. What is this group called? The Believers. And so anyway, they led in a time of worship and in playing, and we enjoyed that very much. Meeting needs. When you get to a point in your walk with God, yes, it is about knowing God and understanding God, but it becomes a part of our walk with God that's so important, is to meet needs. Aware of what they are, and to step out and to meet them the way you can. That is a sign, that is a mark, one of the marks of a person worth following, people worth following. Because it's not always about receiving. It's about meeting needs and stepping out and doing this. Well, let's see what else they did. Let's continue on in verse 17. What does it say here? The apostles what? Persecuted. Then the high priest and all his associates, who were members of the party of the Sadducees, who were sad, right, were filled with what? Jealousy. These are people trying to get closer to God. These are people trying to walk with God, and they're jealous of him. It happens. They arrested the apostles. Notice it's plural. From what I found out, they arrested all of them, from what information I came across, and put them in the public jail. Well, we took care of those guys, got them off the street. You can hear them talking. Yep, they're not a threat anymore. Let's lock them up and keep them locked up, and that'll be good. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. Go stand in the temple courts, he said, and tell the people the full message of this new life. Interesting term, new life. You're going to notice as we continue on, different terms, new life. First century church used that term, that this is a new life. At daybreak, they entered the temple courts as they had been told and began to teach the people. When the high priest and his associates arrived, now this is back at the jail or the area where they were going to meet, they called together the Sanhedrin. Remember, this is a religious high court. The full assembly of the elders of Israel and sent to the jail for the apostles. Yep, we're going to take care of these guys. But on arriving at the jail, the officers did not find them there. So they went back and reported. Wait. Guys, we found the jail securely locked and the guards standing at the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside. Huh. On hearing this report, the captain of the temple guard and the chief priests were puzzled, wondering what would come of this. Yeah, I'd be puzzled too. What would come of this? Then someone came and said, look, the men you put in jail are standing in the temple courts teaching the people. At that, the captain went with his officers, brought the apostles. Notice they didn't arrest them. They brought them. They did not use force because they feared that the people would what? Stone them. They were very popular. Wow. Imagine if you're a religious leader. Yeah, we are the religious leaders. We've got this under control. Not long before that, they had seen someone lame healed, right? That was a couple weeks ago. Now we're seeing a jail where we know they were locked up, empty, and then back in the temple courts. Maybe we got the wrong religion. Think about that. Maybe we got the wrong religion here. It's interesting, later in this chapter, one gentleman makes a key statement, and we'll get to that in a few minutes, and I think sums up that particular issue. So what did the apostles do? They got arrested. They were sitting around in jail. Angels came, I think, and opened and told them to do what? Go share your faith. Go and do this. That's what he told them to do. So what did they do? They left. They went to the temple courts and started sharing their faith again. People to follow. Share their faith. We can't be secret agents all of our life, people. Christians are not designed to be secret agents. There comes a part of our walk with God where we need to share our faith. Let me ask you this question. On your outline, let's fill in that little blank below, share their faith. When did you last share your faith? When was the last time you did that? When did we do that? All right, so here's what we have said. Here's what I have talked to you about, shared with you, and I'm going to talk to you guys about me again in this process. process. How do we do this? What we have told you is, number one, as you pray, just write this off to the side of that blank. Pray. Then at some point, you're going to have to talk. And maybe the third thing is you're going to have to invite. Pray, talk, invite. We've shared this in different ways. But all of us have to be a part of this. Part of watching people worth following are those that can share their faith, but they can do it in many different ways. Some people are a little more forceful, be closer to Paul. Some people serve and share their faith. Some people build friendships and relationships and use that as a platform to share their faith. Those are all good ways to do that. Part of class 401, I have you take a survey that talks about the style that you might be most comfortable with in sharing your faith. Kind of an interesting little part of class 401, which we'll get to next spring. When is the last time you shared your faith? Could you do it with a verse? I've given you examples. What one verse have I used? John 3:16. Most people know that verse. And I have used that on Sunday mornings just to talk to you folks about that, and I've used it at other times. What verses might you use? You have an opportunity with a Bible. We talked about Romans 3:23. Romans 6:23. Romans 5:8. All of sin, the penalty of sin is death, but the good news is Christ died for sins. Ephesians 2:8-9, you're saved by grace. Verses, all know those verses. We are familiar with them, most of us. Testimony, oh my goodness. One of your most powerful weapons of sharing your faith. What Christ has done for you, what has happened, where you were, where you are. Testimony, there's so many different ways to do this. There's not one way to do this. The cube. I was talking to Kathy Pulliam this week, and she said one of the first times her and Todd came to this church, we were using the cube. I said, what kind of church is this? They use some cube thing. Yes, we use the cube to kind of share our faith. There's just so many different ways to do this. So, knowing this message was coming, from a while back I said, Lord, I'm not out in my neighborhood the way I should be. I'm not, because all of us, well, if you live in that neighborhood or if you have a house with an attached garage, the garage door goes up, you drive in, the garage door goes down. And you venture out to cut the grass and pick the weeds. Ruth likes to do that, praise God for that. I'm talking about picking weeds. I get to mow the lawn when Daniel doesn't do it. I said, Lord, I'm not out enough. I'm just not. And I'm the pastor, and I am responsible, but everybody else is responsible. But, Lord, you're going to have to do something because I don't know what to do. And, yes, I wave and I talk to neighbors, but I just got to get out more, Lord. I don't know how to do it. That was my prayer June of this year. July, I go to Colorado, buy a motorcycle. August, take it back. Got the money back for it. Bought another motorcycle, folks. I have an amazingly powerful, awesome machine. I said, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. Here's what happens. I'm still learning how to ride a bike. It's going to take me a long time. At least I'm to the point I don't dump the clutch now. I don't screech. I don't pop wheelies. I never did any of that stuff. But, you know, really, it's a skill to drive a motorcycle. But as I've been driving around, I noticed with garage doors open, there's a lot of people in my area that have motorcycles. So, Centeios live on Skylark. The street that would be to the north of them is, I can't think of the name of it, but catty corner to Centeios, behind them, there's a guy named Steve. I'm sorry, his name is Dave. Dave, I've driven by 3 or 4 times, I remember his name because it's my name. And I didn't even remember it. So I park, I wave, you know, and then I park, walk up the driveway, take my helmet off, said, "Hi, my name's Dave. My wife and I live down on Oakview Lane. And I know you have motorcycles, and, you know, I haven't ridden a motorcycle for 30 years, and I wasn't very good then, and I'm still learning now." He says, "Yeah, I've seen you." I said, "Is it good?" He says, "Yeah, you're learning." It's all right. I don't care. The guy has 8 motorcycles. He takes me in his garage. I walk around half of these motorcycles. He says, "All right, I understand what you're doing. You're kind of a dual sport kind of guy. I'll show you somewhere on top of the Ortega where you can get on a road that will take you all the way to Murrieta one way and all the way to Corona on the other way." I said, "Really? Would you do that?" He said, "Yeah, you get a little better, we'll go." He didn't say that. He said, "Yeah." And so that's Dave. That was within the last month to 6 weeks. Down at DeJong's Dairy, there's a new shop there. Guy who lives in Serenity, right near, not far from Centeio's and us. AVT, JVT or something like that. So I drive down there. I need to get oil because I need to change oil. Yes, I can change oil on a motorcycle. I can do that. Not everybody can, but I can. Without spilling it, without making a mess. So I go in and talk to him because I know where his house is because I ride a bicycle around the area 5 miles 3 times a week. And occasionally I run into Chris and Teo there too. So I know where their house is because they parked out in front of it vehicles. His name's Robbie and his wife. They have a child that's the same age as Daniel, I think, Sonny, and a little older than Adam maybe. I go in there and say, "You know what, I need to buy some oil and I'm not sure what to buy." So he sits me down, talks to me, finds out what I'm doing, says, "Yeah, I've seen you riding." And so I buy oil from him. And he says, "You know, I'm trying to make a business go here." I said, "That's great." Came back later, I have a skid plate. When I was changing the oil, you have to drop down the skid plate, or you're going to drill a hole in the skid plate so you don't have to do that again. These are off-road vehicles, bikes. So this past week, I went down, sat with him for an hour, just talked. It was on Wednesday afternoon, and just talking with him, getting to know him, wanted to know what I do, and I said, "Yeah, I'm down at the church, just down the street." I said, "You ever go to a Christmas Eve service?" I said, "You know, you come, it's casual, and we're just going to light some candles, just reflect on what Christmas means to us." I said, "No, I've never done that." I said, "Why don't you come? Bring your wife." All right, that's two. There's a guy behind me. His name is Steve. I went over to his house. He had two bikes in his driveway, and I just talked to him and whatnot. He took me to the internet, to his Facebook page. This guy has a picture. He's on a Kawasaki, and he is riding, and the speedometer is at 120 miles an hour, and he's taking a picture of it while he's holding on, going 120 miles an hour on the 15. I said, "I'm not going to do that." He says, "No, it's crazy," but he has that picture. So we just talked. I don't know, guys, you've kind of followed me through this whole crazy motorcycle thing. My biggest problem is keeping Cindy Link and Edwina Close off my motorcycle. I have the picture to prove it, too. Oh, they're there. I have them right beside it. I said, "Ladies, you have to wait. You have to wait. I get to give rides one at a time." Anyway. Oh, just technical. You know you want to get on it, Cindy. All right. So, folks, let me tell you, that's what's going on in my life. This crazy thing that I... But it's opening doors, and there's two other people in Reflections that I know of that ride motorcycles. And I'm going to make my way to them. This is how it happens. I had no plan. All I did was say, "God, you got to do something. Let me encourage you to do the same. God, you got to do something to help me reach my neighborhood for you." To be continued, all right? Now, if I'm in the hospital, you guys come and see me. heat frame, that's right, a big quilt for me. People to follow share their faith. That doesn't mean the first time I shared it, I didn't, and I haven't yet. But I am in a process and in a relationship, and I will get there. People to follow share their faith. Finally, verse 27, having brought the apostles, they made them appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. Here we go again. This happened a couple chapters ago. We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name, he said. Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood, speaking of Jesus Christ. Peter and the other apostles replied, we must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to who? To Israel. We're with the Jews right now. We're going to make a huge transition in another chapter, but right now it's to the Jews. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. When they heard this, they were furious. They wanted to put them to death. That's our good old religious leaders. We're talking about the same God and Lord. They're jealous. That is religion. When they heard this, they were furious and wanted to put them to death. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, who was honored by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered that the men be put outside for a little while. Then he addressed them. Men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do with these men. That is an understatement. Consider carefully. Some time ago, Thaddeus appeared, claiming to be somebody. About 400 men rallied to him. He was killed, all his followers were dispersed, and it came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean appeared in the days of the census. He led a band of people in revolt. He too was killed, and all his followers were scattered. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go, for if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God. That's a statement. The religious leaders of that day, and that's why we talked about religion a couple weeks ago, fighting against God. You can't stop this if it's of God. And here we are 2,000 years later, and it is of God. His speech persuaded them. They called the apostles in and had them flogged. All right, the word does not do justice. The word flogged is kind of a strange word to us. Let me tell you what, this is the first example of persecution. Let me explain flogging and then I'll make the point and we're done. Flogging in that day and that time was not anything nice. People died being flogged. What they would do is they would take the person to be flogged, and if they were wearing a tunic or something, they would strip them down to their waist. They would then tie their hands to the side. What they would do is take a cord of rawhide, maybe an inch wide, and they would just keep it maybe be 10 feet long, and they would gather it up so that, you know, it's about this long here, and there were three or four of them. And they would take that, and they could swing this cord as hard as they wanted. What they would do is on the front, they would do a third of the lashes, 40 lashes, 39 actually, but 40. And so when you figured this, about 13 of them were right in their face, right in their chest. And they would take that and they would just, as hard as they could, they would beat them. It would break the skin. It was bloody. It was nothing that was, we don't understand flogging. Then they came around the backside. And they would have them bent over, and they would go with 13 and 13, 26 on the back. It was painful. It was terrible. It was worse when they would put little pieces of glass or metal or whatever. That, according to this account, that was not the case here, but it was just rawhide. And you would get flogged. You would actually go down to your knees and almost to the ground. That's what these people endured. So when you see the word flogging, it's such a strange word to us. It is very serious, very painful, and these apostles were persecuted for the first time in that way. They flogged them. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name of the Lord. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. They suffered for their faith. On your outline here, people to follow sacrifice for their faith. You may never, I may never face that kind of a beating. Never will, possibly. Let me ask you this, though. Let's bring that up, Kathy. Have you ever sacrificed for the Lord? Have you ever sacrificed with your time, with your energy, with your money? We can give at times, praise God for that, but it's just out of the excess. Do you ever sacrifice? The New Testament church did. The apostles are an example. They sacrificed for their faith. Have you ever sacrificed for the Lord? Given up something that you could have done and served the Lord instead in some way. These are people worth following. They sacrifice for their faith. So when you think about this and you look around and in every church there are folks that are worthy to be followed in a very positive way. They share their faith. They sacrifice for their faith. They meet needs. That's what the apostles did. That's what we need to be doing. Amen? Thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you for this example, for this model. Pray, Lord, that you will use us to all be people that can be followed. Lord, as we continue to grow and walk with you, how I pray that we'll keep the example of the New Testament church before us. That we can follow them, that they are an example. But we praise you that there are people in our church today. We praise you for them that are worth following for their example. Thank you, Lord, that we can give and we do this gratefully. In Jesus' name, amen.